Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos, daf Ayin Aleph. Begin on the bottom of Ayin Amabez, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara is qualifying the last halacha of our previous Mishnah, regarding that it says, Mishrishu Kaidim La'imer, if the new plantings had taken root before the Karban La'imer was either, that was the Machlekes, either brought or reaped, then the Karban La'imer is going to permit it. If not, one has to wait for the next year to permit that Chadosh, that new grain. So that's where our Gemara continues and says, Omali Rabbi Laza, as we continue to talk about Ayin Aleph and Aleph, the Rabbi Yeshia Dedari. He said to the Rabbi Yeshia, who was in his generation, who was his age, and excluding the great Rabbi Yeshia, who was a Tana. So that's why when we're referring to the one that was his one, he calls Rabbi Yeshia of his generation. He told them, like, taste of a karach, don't sit down on your feet, until you explain to me the halacha of our Mishnah. Where do we know that the carbon aimer permits only something that had taken root before the carbon aimer was brought? Then it's going to be permitted. But, and that's even if it didn't grow anything, as long as it's taken root. So now he answers, Menalan, from where do you know? The chsiv of the pasuk says, Mikabez, kaloi ba'esh, it has to be the new grain that's roasted in the fire. From the fact that it says min ha'aviv is what you have to bring the carbon aimer, lav mechlal de'ikat the lav aviv, isn't the inference that obviously there are other grains that are not aviv yet, and that's what the aimer is permitting? Because what is it excluding? It's only saying that to bring the carbon aimer, the aimer has to be from the aviv, from the ripe new grain. But everything else that's being permitted is even something that's not the ripe grain, even something that didn't even grow yet. On that asked the Gemara, but maybe delav aviv. Maybe you're right. What's being permitted even is if the grain's not fully ripe yet. But loyim da'ilish lish, but well, of course I would tell you, however, that the grain, whatever's being permitted, has to have at least grown a third. But if it didn't even grow a third, then the aimer is not going to be permitted. Because, yeah, aviv, what has to be the aimer, is something that's totally ripe. And it's permitting even things that are not. But at least a third grown, which is generally a stage that's considered a significant growth. Say Allah Mashmul, rather he brings the sources because it says Mahakal Khamish. The carbon aimer is from when one starts taking the sickle to the grain, that's when you bring the carbon aimer. Now, Lav Machlal Dikit Alav Bar Khamish. So it's saying that the aimer is from the first grain that you reap. But isn't the inference that the aimer has to be from that? That's something that has to be that one could go ahead and reap. But obviously there are those things that can't even be reaped because they didn't even grow a third yet. Because if they already grew a third, then they're ready and to be considered chermish to go ahead and reap it. And still the Omer is permitting it, because only the thing that we're excluding from the Pasuk is that it can't be brought from the Omer. The Omer has to be something that can be reaped. Something that cannot be reaped is just can't be Omer, but still being permitted. So it's even less than a third. So it says the Gemara, fine. But the Lav Bar Chermish, I can tell you that even something that's not ready to be reaped is going to be permitted. So even if it's less than a third of its growth, But truthfully, it has to be at least shachas. I would still say it has to be at least edible for animal fodder, but it has to at least grow something. But just being taken root, that nothing grew, maybe I'll tell you that's not being permitted with the carbon aimer. So Amar Bitzchak, he brings the source from the pasuk where it says, Mehechol Chomesh Kama. It says when you're going to start taking the sickle to the standing grain. That's what the aimer has to be from. But la machlal de la bar kama, isn't the inference that there are those that's being permitted, even those that are not even standing grain? And that's something that if it just took root. And that's the Gemara says, no. De la bar kama, I could tell you that it's permitting even something that's not standing grain, but al oilam agam. But it has to be something at least that grew a little bit, where at least that the tip of the growth could be bent over towards the root, as the terminology halachiv ka'agman reisha, like a hunchback, the term agam would mean to bend over. Who said it's enough just to take root when nothing grew at all? So Elam Rava, rather, he brings the source of pasuk in Shemais that says Ashatizra, where it says in Shemais Chav Gimel B'chaga Katzer, which is the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Bikur Masecha Ashatizra, the first of your fruits that you're going to plant, tells us Ashatizra is Meshazriya, that what's being permitted over here is already from the time of when it was just planted. Now, although the pasuk we just quoted is from Shavuos by the Shtei HaLechem, however, it's going on the Zriya of the carbon regarding to the carbon aimer. The reason for that is because the Shtei HaLechem only permits in the Beis HaMikdash grain that was already permitted by the aimer to a regular person. That's what the Shtei HaLechem permits then a next stage for the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, if referring to Asher Tizer, it also refers to the carbon aimer, and you see that what are we permitting? Even that which was just planted. So on that, I'm like a Papa the Rava, yes, but if that's the case, then they should permit even What, it didn't even take root just once it's planted, but in our Mishnah we said only if it took root. Amalei, so he said to Rav Papa, Sudani, which is a term given to a Talmudic stage, based on the pasuk in Tehillim Chaf Hei, Soyd Hashem Lireyav, the secret of Hashem is to those who fear Him. Sudani is from the terminology of secret that the sages have. Or, what Rav was telling Rav Papa was, because Rav Papa was someone who made beer. As the Gemara Pesachim says, Kof Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, he says that if not for beer, they wouldn't have been wealthy. And a beer maker is considered Sudani. The Gemara there says that if someone has dates, go run to Abay Sudani. Now, why do they call a beer maker Sudani? Because it's a soidna, it's a beautiful secret where it makes the person wealthy, and they also could do a lot of charity and kindness with that. So he was calling him Sudani, either because it was a beer maker, because it was Talmud Chacham, says Basadiksim. The Pasuk says that would be planted in the field, which sounds like until it takes root and gets caught in the ground, that's what's being permitted with the Karban Oimer and the Shtei Alechem of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's how we know the Halach of a Mishnah, the Oimer, is matu, that which at least had Hashrasha, took root in the ground. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah that we said that there's a prohibition of Ketzira, of reaping the grain, up until the Ketzira Sa'imer, the reaping of the Oimer. However, our Mishnah says, but Kaitzin Beis HaShlachan Shebamakin, but it is permitted to reap the grain of the irrigated field that's in the valleys. Either because those types of grain get ruined quickly, so therefore we have a dispensation to go ahead and reap it before the Omer, or actually because those type of grains are inferior. And as we're going to explain, there's no prohibition of ketzira, of reaping grain, which will not be used in the Karban Omer. So although we're allowed to reap the grain in the irrigated field, but you're not allowed to stack them up after it's reaped. Now, Anshei Yericha, the people of Yericha, Kaitrin, they would reap the grain before the Omer Birtzain Chacham, according to the will of the sages. As we just said, certain places you're allowed to reap it. But V'goitchen Shalei Birtzain Chacham, but they stacked it up, not with the willingness of the sages, as we said, that even when you're allowed to reap, you're not allowed to stack it up. And however, V'leimicha B'yadim, but the sages did not protest, although the sages weren't okay with that, but they didn't protest against them that they stacked up the grain. Now, continues the Mishnah, another dispensation is Kaitzul L'Shachas. Even before the Omer is reaped, one's permitted to reap animal fodder. That's Meichel Lebehema, that's food for an animal. Now, Amar Behuda, he says, Emesai, when did we say this? Is Bizman Shemaschel, only if we started reaping it for the utility of feeding to the animals, Achlo Hevi Shlish, before it grew even a third of its growth. Then you could continue reaping even after it grew a third. But if it already grew a third, then one cannot do that before the Omer. He disagrees. He says, no, Yikzer, you could even start cutting the grain, viachal, and feed it to his animal, af mishahibishlish, even though already a third of it grew, since it's being used for his animal, he's allowed to reap it even before the Omer. Now, continues the Mishnah, other exceptions are v'kaitzin mepnei netiyas. We're allowed to go ahead and cut the grain before the Omer if it's because of the saplings that shouldn't get ruined. Now, the reason for this is because that type of a grain is not appropriate to be used for the Omer. The Gemara says later on, the Pehei Mar Aleph, we don't bring the Omer from the Beis HaShlochen, like we said, from irrigated fields, and not from a Steil, and not from an orchard. Now, the reason for that is like we said, because wherever you can't bring the Omer from, so that's where you're allowed to reap, and that's why where there's a Nitiyas around the saplings, one's allowed to go ahead and reap that grain, because you're not going to bring it as the Omer. Or another interpretation, now Natiyas means because of the prohibition that's caused now with the growths of the wheat in these with these trees, that actually it's a problem of climb. So as to avoid that there's going to be prohibited growths, we're allowed to reap the grain. Now, so why to pick specifically Natiyas if it's any forbidden mixture? Because that normally happens, that many times a person could plant grain when it doesn't look like there's any saplings over there. And after a while, these trees grow by themselves, and therefore you have to rip out and reap the grain because of klayim. That's a permissibility. And also, Mimnei Beis HaAvel, because of a house of mourning where there's no room for them to sit in the street, where they have to make a bracha in the street, as the Gemara says in the first parak, Subit of Chesem et Aleph, our worn-out brothers, etc. There's a whole text that they say. So to have space, allow to go ahead and reap the grain to make space for people to sit out in the open in the streets. And when they bitl beis medrash, if there's no room for the students to sit, where they're learning out in the open, so since these reapings are for mitzvah purposes, they're permitted to be done even before the Ketzirah Zayimah. However, says the Mishnah, lo yasa oisin kriches. However, although we're allowed to go ahead and reap in these situations, but one should not take these bundles and tie them, Aval manichan tzvasim, rather just leave them in bundles without tying them. So they were allowed to go ahead and reap it, but don't go ahead and do it all the way and tie them as a bundle. Now, continues the Mishnah. Mitzvah sa'imr lovim in akamah. It's a mitzvah that appropriately the aimer should be brought from the standing grain, meaning that it should be have a katsira, a reaping, lishma, for the sake of the aimer, as the pasuk says in Devarim Tezayin, mahachal charmish bekamah. When you start putting the sickle to the standing grain, cut it for the utility of being the aimer. Now, loy matzah, let's say you don't find, because let's say all the grain has already been reaped. So then, yavim in amar, and then you bring from whatever was bundled already. So too, mitzvah se lovim in alach. There's a mitzvah that it should be brought from the moist grain, like it says in the Mikach of Gimel Carmel, which we read, rach umal, it means soft, and it can be crushable by the hand. Now, loy matzah, but if one doesn't find this, so yavish, he should even bring it, the grain of the barley, if it's dry. So to mitzvah se liktzer balayla, there's a mitzvah to go ahead and reap it at nighttime, as we said in the beginning of the parak. But niktzer bayam kashev was reaped during the daytime, that's also valid. And concludes the Mishnah, B'deichas HaShabbos, these activities of the procession of the Eimer, it overrides the laws of doing Melacha and Shabbos. Now, to explain the Halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Tanya Loin Nabraisa. Rabbi Yomim Ami, he says, Kosa B'deicha Eimer, one pasuk says in Yikra, Uktzartim es Ketzira, you'll be reaping all the reapings of your field, V'aveisim es Eimer, and you bring the carbon Eimer. Now, from this pasuk alone, from this part of the pasuk, it sounds like, that a person could reap his grain before the bringing of the Eimer. It says, do the reaping, and then you bring the Eimer. But Uksiv, the Pasuk says over there in that same Pasuk, Rishas Ketzirchem ala Kayin, the first of your reapings go to the Kayin. That sounds like the first of all the reapings that you're not allowed to reap until you cut the grain for the Omer. So how do you resolve this? So on that, as we explained, the Halacha of a Mishnah is based on this principle. Mimakum shata maybe from a location, from a place where you're going to bring the carbon Omer, Yata Kaitzer. There you're not allowed to reap before the Omer. And that's what that part of the Pasuk means to say, that the first one has to be for the Ketziris Omer. But by Mokim Shiata, maybe from a place you're not going to bring, as we explained by Beis HaShlachat Shabbat Mokim, there are certain places that are not valid to be used for the Eimer. So Ata Kaitza, there you're allowed to reap it even before the carbon Eimer. However, on this source, the Gemara asks, no, Eimer may be said to resolve the contradiction in the Pasuk. Mimin Shiata, maybe from the type of species that you're going to bring the Eimer, specifically barley. That's Ata Kaitza, that you're not allowed to reap before the Eimer. Maybe say, but Mimin Shiata, maybe from the type that you're not going to bring the Eimer from, which is Chitin, Kismin, Shibelashul, Shipin, you're not going to bring the Eimer from those species, maybe say that that's Atakaitza, that actually allowed to reap that even before the Eimer, because the Eimer is not going to come from them. How do you know it refers to location and not to species? So it's like, Hahula Mitzvah Amr, that you can't say because of Rabbi Yechanan. We already learned Rabbi Yechanan in the previous daf that says we know Gzir Shavim, Rashis, Bechala, it says Rashis Ketzirta, it talks about the word Rashis by the Ketzira, the prohibition of reaping before the Eimer, and it says Rashis Bechala, just like over there that refers to all the Chamishas Aminim, so to over here, all the Chamishas Aminim, not just Sa'irim, is not allowed to be done before the Eimer, and therefore obviously it's referring to the Makkum, like we said, for example, the case of Beis HaShlach HaShabbat Makkum, that one is allowed to go ahead and reap that even before the Ketzira. Now the Mishnah continued, it says, it's like we said in the Mishnah, they did the reaping of their grain before the Eimer, that was according to the consent of the sages. But the piling, like we said, is never supposed to be done, that was not according to the will of the sages. Etc. However, but which it says in the Mishnah, they didn't protest. Now says the Gemara, Man Shamalei Da'amar Michu B'Lemichu. Who is the one that uses the type of terminology, as we learned in the Mishnah, that regarding protesting, not protesting, like we said, oh, that the sages did not protest. It's Rabbi Huda, as we're going to shortly quote, he's the one that uses the terminology of regarding finding sages protesting or not. Now, if he's the Tana of a Mishnah, as he's the one who's quoting this halacha, saying, V'Lemichu B'Yadam, ask the Gemara, V'Sav Rabbi Huda, does Rida hold, as our Mishnah says, Ketzira de'anshei richa b'tzin chacham havya, that the reaping that the anshei richa did of their grain before the Eimer was according to the consent of the sages? But V'Tanya, learn the Braisa, the same Braisa is where it shows us that he's the one who says protesting, but at the same time seems to counter-indicate as it's brought in our Mishnah. The Braisa says, Shishu dvarim asu anshei richa. There were six things that the people, the inhabitants of Yerichi did. Shleisha b'tzin chacham, three according to the willingness of the sages. V'shleisha shle b'tzin chacham, and three not according to the willingness of the sages. V'elusha b'tzin chacham says, the Braisa, these were according to the will of the sages. Markivin de kolam kolayim. The entire day of the Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, the inhabitants of it, they were grafting trees the whole day. Now, although one's not supposed to do malacha on Erev Pesach, they said they considered it not as a significant activity, so the sages were okay with that. So to v'kerchen the Shema, they would wrap the Shema. As the Gemara Pesachim explains, what that means to say is that they would say the pasuk Shema Yisrael, and they would not stop to give space between every word. Third of all, v'koytzun l'fnei Omer, they reap their grain before the Omer was brought. And these were all b'tzayin chacham, these were all according to the willingness of the sages. Now, although the Gemara had said previously from Remeir and of San Chazayin and Beis that when the sages would find that the marketplace of Yerushalayim was filled with the toasted grains and flour, and that was right after the Emer, that was not according to the willingness of the sages, because they had decreed that people who were doing the reaping and all those different procedures might come to eat from it. So how could we say that the Kaitzun Lefnei Emer was between Chachamim? So that's because in that Mishnah was talking about that there were many things that they were busy activities. They were reaping, they were grinding, they were toasting, they were sifting. Moreover, it was not in a situation of great loss. So therefore, the sages were not okay with that. But regarding this brisa of the people of Yericho, first of all, it was a great loss for them. And second of all that they permitted them to do was the reaping. There, Remei would agree that that is b'tzen chacham, as you should know, because they didn't permit them to stack, only to do the reaping. So therefore, that was the third thing that was b'tzen chacham. Continues the brisa of Elo Shloi b'tzen chacham, and these were not according to the willingness of the sages. Goit shon lefnei Emer. They stacked it before the Emor, which was rabbinically problematic. They didn't want anyone to do those stages, which were unnecessary. Second of all, Matirin Gamzia Shel Hektish. The inhabitants of Yericho permitted for themselves to have benefit from the branches. Like the Gamzias means like this too, the outgrowths of Hektish trees, Shalchar Vishal Shikama, which were carob and sycamore, which they would say, although these trees were sanctified by their fathers to go to Hektish, only thing the part of the trees that their fathers were makdish were to have beams, which is the primary part of the tree. But we're going to permit for ourselves the branches that come out of it, because they held that ein me'ila b'gidulim, that there's no misappropriation of hektish by outgrowth of the hektish. That's why they picked specifically the carob and the sycamore, because generally those trees are used to make beams out of that. So this was also shalei b'tzin chacham. And also, u'peritzin p'ratzeis b'gineiseinu b'pardeseinu, they made breaches in the fences, in their gardens, in their orchards, lahachal nesha, so that to be able to give, to eat, those fruits which fell down from the tree, and that was in the bottom of the tree, la'anim, that was to be for the paupers, b'shnei b'tzairis, in the famine years, b'shabbas yom tovim, that the paupers could go out and eat on Shabbos and yom tovim, which the rabbis were not okay with that, because if they're going to let them eat it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they might go up and climb up on those trees, not just the ones that are detached, and come to rip off on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is biblically prohibited. So the Remeir, this is the opinion of Remeir. Now, for the three things that were b'tzen chacham, eshloi b'tzen chacham. Amalei Rehuda, Rehuda said to him, wait, in b'tzen chacham hein oisin, if the first three things that you're saying were with the willingness of the sages, so you kol adam ka'isikin, then let every person do this. Why were these things that only the Anshei Riche did? Ella rather says to Rehuda, elu ve'elu shloi b'tzen chacham. No, all the two categories, the three and three, were all, the sages were not okay with any of them. It's just that, so what were these two groups of three? V'ashleisha michu b'yadim. And this is where we see Rabbi Yehuda is the one who talks about protesting. It's just that regarding three of them, they protested. V'ashleisha le michu b'yadim. Regarding three of them, they didn't protest. But it still wasn't b'rtzen chacham. That says Rabbi Yehuda, ve'elu shle michu b'yadim. What were the three that they didn't protest? The markiv and the kolam kolayim, they didn't protest regarding that they grafted trees the whole erev Pesach. V'kerchen Hashema, that they wrapped and they didn't stop between the words and the pasuk Hashema. And v'koytzun v'goytzun lefnei Omer, that they reaped and that they stacked their grain before the Omer. So they weren't okay with that, but they didn't protest. The elu shemicha b'yadim, regarding these, they did protest. As we continue to Talmud Beis, is matirin gamziyah shal hektish shal charev shal shikma, regarding this, that they permitted the branches that their fathers had been makdish of the carob and the sycamore tree, there they did protest. Uparts and pirtzes begin the same, and the same, this, that they made breaches in their gardens and their orchards, k'di lahachal neshul anim m'shnei b'tzores b'shabbos b'mtevim, that the paupers could get to those fallen fruits in the famine years on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there they did protest. And v'nisin peyli yerek, regarding this, that they set aside the corner of the field peya for vegetables, which actually the laws of peya do not apply to vegetables, because there's a general rule by peya, which is whatever is a food item and that is protected and one puts away for storage, which the Gemara Shabbos HaMechesim and Av says the element of being put to storage excludes vegetables because it doesn't stay for a long time. And therefore, actually, this that they thought that maybe they're doing a kindness by giving peya actually is a prohibition, because peya is not obligated meiser. But here, it's not really peya, so it's actually obligated meiser. So because of that, they protested when they were making peya, which is the corner of the field for the poor, out of this, when really it's not really peya and it's supposed to have ma'aser. And therefore, umichah biyadin, they protested. But one thing is, as the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda is the town of our Mishnah, because he's the one that talks about protesting, how could the Mishnah say that the Kaitzin was B'tzen Chacham? When Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that actually Kaitzin V'Gaitzin Lefnei Omer, although they didn't protest, was Shaloi B'tzen Chacham. Not like the way our Mishnah says that Kaitzin is B'tzen Chacham. So that the Gemara answers, well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, Shisha, how, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there were six things. Three they protested and three they didn't. But actually, if one counts it, actually comes out to be Shiva Hava. Actually, it comes out to be a list of seven things. Because in the list of things that they didn't protest, is actually four things. You have Markivin, Dekalm, Kalayim, you have Kerchen, Neshaman, you have Kaitzin, Begaitzin, which are two different things, Lefnei Omer. Rather, says the Gemara, Elasami Mekankitzir. Rather, you obviously have to delete from here regarding the first list of three. Take out the reaping, because actually reaping was not like any in those lists. They didn't protest, and even it was B'tzen Chachamim. Therefore, actually, repeated is the town of our Mishnah. He's the one who mentions Michui, and actually, not only did they not protest, but actually it was even B'tzen Chacham to be Kaitzer their grain, Lefnei Ha'imer. Now, the Mishnah continued in Hedem Achleikis. The Tanakhama said, Kaitzer L'Shachas Amaych L'Behema, that one could reap also for animal fodder and feed it to his animals even before the Ketzir Salimer. Which we had a machlekes regarding what would the halacha be, achar shlish. If it already grew a third, Rabbi Yehuda said it only works up until a third, and Rabbi Shimon said that even after it grows a third, one could still cut it before the aymer. Now, we'll relate back to the Mishnah. The Gemara says, snan hasam. We learned that within the Mishnah, Masechta Peah as follows. Ve'elu mafsikin lapeah. And these elements interpose in a field for the laws of Peah, that it makes it like it's two separate fields, and hence, as every field requires, the corner of the field to be left over for the poor to take, and that one doesn't go ahead and reap it for themselves. What are these things that get in the way and make it not one big contiguous field, but as two different fields? Is Hanachal, the ravin, like a stream going by, Bashlulis, which is a place where rainwater gathers over there. So if, let's say, there's seeds that are planted on either side, one would have to give payah from each one separately, because the Shlulis, this water pit, it interposes. So to Bederech HaYachid, a private path, which is a width of 4 Amos. Bederech HaRabim, a public path, which is a width of 16 Amos. Vishvil HaRabim, Vishvil HaYachid HaKavua, or a small path of the public or of an individual, but it's permanent, that is there, B'meisa Chama U'B'meisa Gsham. It's there all year round, in the summer and in the winter. Because if it wasn't so permanent, then actually it wouldn't interpose, because it's a very narrow path and wouldn't be significant unless it's there year round. Or v'habur, or a fallow field, which is between two planted plantations on either side, or also a field that's v'hanir, that's been plowed, or v'zera achar, or if let's say someone planted between two rows of wheat, he plants lentils, so that also separates between the two wheat fields, and therefore each wheat field would require its own peah. And v'kaitzu l'shachas, let's say between the two plantations, there was a reaping for animal fodder. So mafsig, that also interposes to have to give payah from each field separately, that when they finally ripen and mature, to go ahead and reap each one of those separate fields on either side, because in the middle was cut for animal fodder, each one would require its own payah. That's the remeir. V'chachamayim, regarding this last halacha, they say, no, ein mafsig. If someone just reaps a middle of a field for shachas, for animal fodder, that's not going to interpose as if now on either side is like a separate field. Elam kin charash. Unless the empty space, because it had been cut for animal fodder, unless in that empty space the person went now and plowed, now it's a sudden near, it's a plowed field, then it's like, as we said before, it's going to be separated between the two halves. But if it didn't plow, then not, because the chacham hold, when you're being kaitzel l'shachas, when you're reaping for animal fodder, that's the beginning of reaping of the growth of that field. So therefore, when all the grain then fully ripens and matures, because shachas is generally even when it's not even a third of it's grown, but when the rest of the field grows to its maturity and then one reaps the whole field, it's like completing and concluding the katsir, which he'd already started when he cut for the shachas, and therefore you only need one peah on the whole entire field. This is not considered as a separation. Now, regarding this Mishnah, and this relates back to the Halacha of Mishnah, Amar Rava Bar Rechon Amar Brichon, it says, Remeir, who does not consider reaping for shachas, for animal fodder, as katsira, as reaping. Because if he did, he would say, like the Chacham, that it's not going to separate the two fields. It's like you started the Ketzira procedure already. You started the procession. It's just the rest are going to finish in maybe a month or 2 months, whatever it is. He holds, obviously, that it's not considered a Ketzira. So says Rabbi Yechanon, so Beshitas Rib Shimon Amra, he's going like Rib Shimon of our Mishnah. Dama that he said, Yikzer V'yachel Af Mishav Yishlish. He said, although you now do, quote, Ketzira, you now do a reaping before Ketzira Sa'imer, but he said, you could even cut for animal fodder, even if it grew a third already. Why? Alma Kesavar Kol Lashachas Lav Ketzira, although generally it's considered significant that reaping if it already grew a third of its maturity, but since you're doing it for Shachas, for animal fodder, that's not, quote, considered Ketzira. It's not considered reaping. And that's just like Reb Meir, who said that Ketzira for Shachas is not considered Ketzira, and therefore it wasn't a reaping. It's rather just an emptying out of the field. Oh, now that's empty space. That's like a plowed field. It's like a fallow field. It's going to separate, according to Reb Meir, in contrast to the Chacham. Now, however, Yosef, as the Girsa has it, Rava, Mekamala Lahosh Maita. He was saying over this teaching of Rabbi Yechon that Reb Meir is like Reb Shimon's opinion in our Mishnah. However, Esevei Revach Barhuna L'Rav, he asked on him from the following Brisa. The Brisa says as follows. Achala Chagav, if locust ate up the middle of a person's field. Now, the terminology is Achala because generally locusts eat from the top. Or Karsimel Nemalim. He'd use a different terminology because ants usually they eat away at the stalk from the bottom. Or let's say Shabrasur Haruach, or the wind goes and breaks those stalks in the middle of the field, says the Braisa. Hakol Maidim, in this situation, everyone would agree. Charash Mafsik. This that now it's emptied out in the middle of the field, there's a big gap because locusts or because ants or the wind broke it. Now this the rest are split into two. Says the Braisa, here everyone agrees, only if you plowed over that area, then it will consider a separation. If you didn't plow, it's not going to be a separation. Says the Gemara, Hakol Moideman, who are we saying everyone agrees over here? Meaning like as if maybe normally you would say, even if you don't plow, it's going to be mafsik. No, but here, if you don't plow, it's not going to be mafsik. Who's that coming to say? Obviously, he's coming to say Reb Meir, because he had said, as we quoted before, he says that if you're kaitzel shachas, it is going to be masik. It is going to be interposition, even if you don't plow. And that the Bryce is saying, oh, here he agrees that no, it's not going to be considered a hefsik, unless if you plow. And that concludes the Gemara, the question. If you say that the Mishnah Masechtas Peah that quotes that if one is kaitzel, a shachas, a contra mayor, is going to be mafsig, that it's only b'shaloi heviyashlish, that Remei was only saying, that's only if it didn't grow a third, so that's not considered kitzira, because A didn't grow a third, and he's doing it for shachas. So then you could understand that the brisa that we're quoting now, that talks about by the locust and by the ants, that where it tells us the charish in, it says, oh, it's only hefsek if you plow, loy charish lo, if you don't plant, if you don't plow, then not. And the reason for that is, why? Because isn't it empty? No, because it'll be considered the beginning of the ketzira. It's like the beginning, although what I mean, it's separate by a fallow field. No, because what the ants ate up, what the locusts ate up is like the beginning of the reaping. So you could explain, what's that talking about? B'shehe v'shlish. When it had already grown a third. Oh, the Remei agrees. Oh, even shachas, even if a person's cutting for his animal, less than a third, less than considered ketzira. So it's not ketzira. So what is this? You have empty field, so it's going to separate. But the brisa, even if it was done by some animals or by the wind, but okay, ultimately it was already a third. So it's like it was already the beginning of the ketzira. So it's not considered like separate fields. And therefore, all of it, you will only require one peya if you didn't plow over, even according to Reb Meir. So then you would say, obviously, and that's what the Gemara's question is, that Reb Meir is not like Reb Shimon. Because Reb Shimon holds, even if it already was a third of its growth, he holds, if you're cutting for shachas, it's not considered ketzira. That's why he permits it even before the ketzira sa'imer. So therefore, as the Gemara, we would be able to resolve Reb Meir and what's obviously his opinion, the Braisa, if you say that it's not like Reb Shimon, not like the way you're quoting from Reb Yechanan, because Eli'i Amrit Masni'in Nami, B'shehevi Shlish, but if you're saying like you're quoting from Reb Yechanan, that the Mishnah Masechtas Peah of Reb Meir's opinion is even talking about that if it already even was already matured a third, still Reb Meir holds that if you're cutting for shachas, it's going to be mafsik because it's not considered ketzira, even if it already grew a third of it. So then, ask the Gemara and Hashda, if that's the case, then umahasam de ketzira. If over there where it's a reaping, where it says that if someone's being kaitzel a shachas, we said it's going to be mafsik. where the Hasam over there, or as the other Girsais have it, as Rashi's Girsa is, the Adam, where the person himself is cutting it. Still, Amre Meir Loishma Katsira, Mehod, that's not considered reaping, because it's being done for Shachas. And Rabbi Yechon wants to say that it's even if it grew a third. But then how do we understand Sahach will be here in the Braisa that's talking about where it's done by locust and by mice or by other creatures, by ants, where if they're cutting it, Loi Kol Shekein, isn't it all the more so? Of course it's not going to be Katsira? Well, then how do we resolve it? We the Braisa is saying that everyone agrees, which is even Rebbe Meir, that's saying that it's going to be Katsira. That's why it's not considered a hefsek, unless you plow. But how could that be? If Rebbe Meir holds, even if a person's doing it, even if it grew a third, it's not considered katsira, then how could, and that's a person's doing it, albeit for an animal. But here when the animals themselves are doing it, how could that be considered a valid katsira to say that it's not considered separation, that you only need one pay for all of them? So rather, the Gemara falls off what we had said before. The Rebbe Meir is in the opinion of his Rebbe Reb Shimon, of the opinion of Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. Rather, Rebbe Meir, as we just proved, because we have to resolve his opinion, the Mishnah and Peah and the Braisa, he says that no, if it didn't mature yet a third of its growth, so then it's not considered Katsir. But you're right, if it already grew a third, as we see from this Braisa, even if ants are doing it, that if it grew a third, it's going to be considered, quote, a Katsira. So it's the beginning of the Katsira, and therefore it's not a separation. Or when you finally do with the Katsira, you only need one Peah in the corner of the whole entire field. He's Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah Amra. He was going in the other opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amra, because Rabbi Yehuda had said, he qualified this halacha of the dispensation of being Kaitz al Hashachas before the Ketzirah Omer. He said, Amra said, when did we say this? He said, Bezman Shehischal Ad Shalahe Bishlish. If we started before it grew a third, Avlam Hischal Ad Shehe Bishlish Aser. He said, but if it already grew a third, and then you want to do it, then it's forbidden. That's who Rabbi Meir is going like when he says this opinion, where he says, Kaitz al Hashachas is not considered Ketzir. That's if it didn't grow a third yet. That's why it's permitted in our Mishnah according to Behuda to before Katsira Zaymer. If it already grew a third, that's like we see in the Braisa that Rebbe Meir agrees that that's considered Katsira. Therefore, that's like what Yehuda says in our Mishnah. However, the Gemara says not necessarily Rebbe Meir is like Rebbe Yehuda. Because Eman the Shaman, the Rebbe Yehuda, where do we find Rebbe Yehuda in our Mishnah is only Lebehema. Is only if the reaping is being done, the cutting of the shachas is being done to feed it to the animal. But La'admi Shamatle? But did you ever hear that he held that it's going to be permitted even for human consumption? That even for a person, if the grain didn't grow a third, that it's not going to be considered a katsira? Because in contrast with Meir, he's, even if one's reaping it for human consumption, for example, let's say you take a shachas, which is when the grain didn't grow a third yet, if you're using it for klayis, to use it for toasted granola, Remeir also said, because his words were, Kaitzo la shachas is mafsik. If you're cutting the shachas, for just shachas, for the immature grain, it's going to separate. And therefore you see, it's not considered katsira, because if it was, it wouldn't separate, it would be considered like one big katsira. And he doesn't say, Kaitzo la shachas lebehema mafsik. So, who said that Rebbe Yehuda says it for human consumption? Sounds like Rebbe Yehuda is, Remeir saying for human consumption, but Rebbe Yehuda, as the Gemara is going to prove, it only says it for animal consumption. Because the imkain, because if it would be the case that Rebbe Yehuda permits even for human consumption, that if it didn't grow a third yet, then havalu t'lasa tanoi, then we're actually going to have three different opinions in our Mishnah. Why? Tanna Kamma says explicitly in his words that what's the dispensation of b'shachas to be cut before it grew a third is only lebehema, for an animal. Now, that Rebbe Yehuda comes and he says, Amos, when did we say this? And he qualifies the halacha. He says, only if it was started, actually hivishlish, if it didn't grow a third yet. Now, you want to say that that would be even for human consumption, because you want to say Rebbe Meir is like Rebbe Yehuda. Then comes along Rebbe Shimon, and he says, no, you could even cut even like a tchila, even if it's for human consumption, even if it grew a third. But based on that, what's going to come out, so it's going to come out that Rebbe Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. Because the Tanna Kamma is saying only for behemoth. And you want to say Meir is like Rebbe Yehuda. Meir says even for human, so Rebbe Yehuda is even for human consumption. The problem is, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Chofeim and Alf, wherever Rebbe Yehuda says Emosai, he's just qualifying and clarifying the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. It's only when they use the word Bameh, when did we say this, that he's disagreeing. But Emosai is just qualifying, but based on what you're saying, he's actually a third opinion, he's disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. That can't be, because he's using the words Emosai. So the brother says the Gemara, you're right. Kiyasra Avdimi Amar, and Avdimi came and he said that not only is Rebbe Meir not like Rebbe Shimon, he's not like Rebbe Yehuda either, because we know Rebbe Meir is even by human, and as we just proved, Rebbe Yehuda is only for Lebehema. Rather, Rebbe Meir b'shitas Rebbe Kiva Rabbi. Reb Meir was going in the opinion of his Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, who Amar, he says, that even for human consumption, cutting for shachas is not considered a ketzira if it didn't grow yet a third. There's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Peah. Mishnah says, Hamenamer Sada, if someone speckles a field, meaning he cuts a row and he leaves a row. So now it's like it's speckled in the sense of that spotted where you have row, not row, row, not row. Vishaya Baklacham Lachem. And he left over soft, immature stalks. Now the reason why it has to be that what was left over was soft stalks was because if all of it was already matured already, and it's not just that they're, even the ones that were left are immature, everyone would agree, all you would need to take is one pay on the whole field, because whatever he did cut, which are the in-between rows, was the beginning of the reaping, because everything is already matured already. But no, what was left over was still soft, immature stalks. So Bekiva, I mean, he says, now you have to go and take off Peah, leave the corner of every single row is considered its own field, because it's every time, every other row that you cut was a separation between the other rows to make them separate fields. The Chachamim, they say, no, me'echad al-kol, all you need to do is one on the whole entire field. Now, this Mishnah of Amr Behuda Mishnah, he said, Bekiva did not hold that there's an obligation on each separate, quote, field, which are the rows, to take off a separate Peah, el b'menamer le'kaloyes, only if it was speckled for the utility of toasting those grains. Meaning, which is similar to the case of shachas, which it didn't grow a third yet, where what was reaped was for human consumption, because kalayas, toasting grain, is only for humans that eat granola like that. Now, even so, we see that according to Rabbi Kiva, that's not considered a ketzira, because if it was a ketzira, that would be the beginning of the ketzira, like the chamil, need one pay for all. No, it's not considered a ketzira, because it didn't yet grow a third. So even though you're cutting to have granola for people, which they like it when they're still the immature grain, still, it's not considered katsira. And therefore, it's a separation between the rows. Somebody was saying, but if let's say all the grain had already fully matured already, and the in-between rows that he did cut was so that he could put it away into the storage house and let it age, that loy, that he didn't say, because that's obviously the beginning of the katsira. Everyone would agree only one payah on all of it. Now, but one thing that we see is that Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that even when you're cutting the immature grain that didn't grow a third, even for human consumption, it's still not going to be considered ketzira. That's exactly like Reb Meir, who we said in the Mishnah Masechtas Peah, even for cutting the shachas for human consumption, it's not considered a ketzira, and hence not going to be considered a separation, but it's going to be considered a separation between the rows. Now, the Gemara asked on this last halacha from Rav Yehuda Shmuel, which was what was telling us that the opinion of Reb Meir is like Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says, "Is that really so?" But V'hoki Asid Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, "Mechayev Hoy Rabbi Kiva Af B'Menamer Lo Itzer." That Rabbi Kiva, no, Rabbi Kiva said that it's going to be considered a separate field, not only if you speckled, if you cut and you reaped for what was not even a third ripe, but even if it was fully ripened and it was taking it to go ahead and store them. Still, since you cut them separately, now each one's considered its own field. When you're going to go do the reaping of the rest, said Rabbi Yechanan, you're actually going to have to take off a payah of each one. So it comes out, in conscience, but Reb Meir, he said clearly, if it already did mature a third of it, that then he would agree, as we brought from that braisa, that it would be considered ketzira, as we brought from that braisa of Achal HaChagav. So you can't even say Reb Meir is like Rabbi Kiva the way Rabbi Yechanan is saying it, because Rabbi Kiva says that even if you're cutting for human consumption, even after it grew a third. That answers the Gemara, top of Ayin Beza Manav. No, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, Reb Meir is still like Rabbi Kiva. It's just that Savolo Kavasei, Reb Meir holds like Rabbi Kiva Bechada, in one halacha. Regarding this, that we were proving that if it didn't mature a third yet, then even for human consumption, it's not going to be considered a ketzira. Regarding that, Reb Meir is like Rabbi Kiva. But Apalgalei Bechada, but regarding one halacha, if it even matured a third, that's where he disagrees with Rabbi Kiva. So he's like Rabbi Kiva, but just not all the way like him. In regards to if it matured a third, Rabbi Kiva would hold that even for human consumption, even if it grew a third, it would still not be considered a ketzira. Hence, it's not the beginning of ketzira, and therefore every separate row is going to be required its own payah. That's where Reb Meir disagrees, and he says, no, that, if as we brought in the braisa, it would be considered ketzira, but we were able to say Reb Meir was like his Rebbe Rebbe Kiva, just on the other one, past the third, he disagrees, and he holds that it would be considered ketzira.